Hi, this is Max Mason. Welcome to Path to the Podium. Hello, Alberto. Welcome to Path to the Podium.
Thank you, Max. Thank you. Nice to be here.
It's a pleasure to have you on. And I think the perfect way to start is to go to the beginning of your motorsport career. We spoke briefly just then. It was quite different to what a lot of people do. But I think walk through the audience through how everything kind of came to be.
Yeah, with much pleasure. I always had the passion for, of course, cars and for the competition. So just when I was, I think, 23, I was able to do some local rental cars races. And I saw that I was good. I was winning some competitions. But all the time I was there within the first places. So I had some money, I had some savings, because at the time I was working at as a waiter in a restaurant. So yeah, I was investing all my time and all my money into these local rental cars. And then the big opportunity came up when I saw an Italian contest. And the prize was three races in the Formula X Italian Championship with the Formula Predator. So maybe some guys of the public know the championship. Basically, it was this competition made of three stages. So the first one was the simulator, in which whoever could enter the competition. And then just the top 50 went to the second stage, which was a competition kart. And then the third, so the final was already on the car. And yeah, I was lucky enough or good enough to win the competition. And so that's where everything started. I think it was like three years from now, actually. So yeah, looking back is quite of a journey, because then I did those races, two races with this little Formula. The Formula Predator is a motorbike engine, very light, so down on power, but very fun, you know. So yeah, we did two races. I ended up on the podium in my first one. I wasn't able to start in my second race because I basically released the clutch badly and I stalled on the grid. And yeah, I mean, quite a journey. And then I did one race in Formula 4 in Monza, which is an amazing track. I mean, super fast, very heavy braking zones. And then, yeah, the NASCAR opportunity came shortly afterwards, and yeah, I took the chance with some support from my family as well, and because at the time basically I was brand new in the motorsport world, so yeah, they supported me a lot, and we did the full first season, in which I ended up winning the rookie trophy with the with very, you know, heart attack at the last race because my gear lever broke. But maybe we can talk about later. Yeah, the second year, so last year actually, was a bit unlucky on my side. We had a lot of issues with the car, which eventually ended up with a brake failure in Vallelunga. And yeah, I broke my thumb, I need surgery, and I had to skip the rest of the season. So yeah, this is my journey so far.
So yeah, a very crazy start to motorsport. I think it would be cool now to go into some more detail of the individual races you did, obviously, because you achieved so much in so little races. I think it would actually be interesting to go into what each different race, what happened, what the preparation was for it, and how you kind of prepared yourself for the next step, because you took basically the next step every other month, essentially. So how did you go from obviously Formula Predators, a super underpowered car, motorbike engine, so it revs up to, you know, 12,000 RPM, whatever it is. you know, it's just basically they put a motorbike with four wheels, a Formula Predator, and put a few fancy wings on it. Then obviously to an F4, which has got a bit more power, less downforce, but overall is a faster car. And then obviously the transition to a NASCAR, which has just completely thrown everything out of the books. How do you think your progression through the different cars has gone, and how do you think you've adjusted to them?
Well, so I've always been a sporty guy. So on that side, I think I'm well-trained, let's say, as a base. But then, of course, racing, it's much tougher than what people might think, because you don't only have the physical effort, you have a lot of mental effort. And the combination of those two basically is really tough to handle. So I started to train a lot more on the upper body with pull-ups. I try to not use actually very much the machines. I like to do, you know, to use just my body weights. Of course, some handles as well. But I mean, I try to just use my own body weight. So a lot of pull-ups, push-ups, also a lot of exercises for the core, because that's where the stability comes from when you're sitting in the race car. And especially when I did transition from the Formula Predator to the Formula 4, I started to train the neck as well. Because I did a test, let's say, a couple of weeks before the race, just, you know, to not going into the race weekend completely blind. And man, after like two corners, my neck was outside the car. So yeah, I did as much training as I could, especially Monza. You had the fast bits. So for example, the Variante Ascari, which is this left, right, left, very fast. So the exit speed is around 170. And for that, I need the training. So, you know, as a baseline, I think you also can agree that the training is always the same, but then you adapt. For example, you adapt reflexes training, you adapt neck training, you adapt maybe if you race in hot climate conditions, you try to put yourself with under effort for those conditions. My idea generally is to replicate the environment I will have to race. So mentally and physically, I try to push myself every day, even if I'm tired after work or whatever. I try to train at least 45 minutes per day, which may not be enough, but this is what I can do right now. So yeah, a lot of running, basically on not on a marathon, but 5 kilometers per day, at least not per day, but 3 times a week at least. So yeah, basically, I guess is my training on a weekly basis.
And obviously, moving into EuroNASCAR, how did that kind of come about? Was it you were just searching through social media and saw it, or was it something you actually heard about or attended one of the races, or how did you kind of find out about EuroNASCAR, and how did you kind of make the move into the series?
Well, at the time, my team was competing already in the EuroNASCAR, so basically I came in contact with the EuroNASCAR reality because of them. My former teammate Davide was racing in the championship, and he told me really well about the championship, about the paddock, about the competition, about the level of the drivers. So I instantly became curious about it. I started to follow the races, and I basically the curiosity grows in me. So I said, okay, but what can I do to test the car and to have a taste of it? And Yeah, in the end, we had the opportunity to do the final race of the 2020 season in Valencia, which was a crazy experience. Because in the end, I didn't test the car before. So I came in Valencia, no preparation, no idea of what to expect, you know, apart from what my teammate told me. And yeah, I just jumped into the car and did the best I could. And in the end, it turned out also a good race. I mean, if I remember correctly, I ended up P13 in my first race in the pro. So not bad. But yeah, the first contact with Euronascar, I would say, is thanks to Davide Dallara, my teammate, and my former team as well.
And so you were saying, so 2021 was your first season of Euronascar, right?
Yes.
How was your kind of rookie season? What were some ups and downs you had? Obviously, you won the rookie championship. So walk me through how the year went and how you were kind of overall competing against everyone.
Yeah, it's been a roller coaster of a season. Because basically everything happened. We started the season in Valencia, of course, and with two wins on the rookie trophy and two top tens. So, you know, the start of the season was great. I mean, I never had the chance to do a lot of tests, you know, so I had to maximize whatever time I had during free practice or each session, basically. So to end up in Valencia with two wins and two top 10, I was really proud of it. But then in the second race, which was Brands Hatch, you know, expectations, I mean, I ended up fourth on the overall. So, and I was fighting for the podium for the entire race. So I did fourth in qualifying in mixed condition, you know, when it's raining, but it's still slick. And in Brands Hatch, you will see it's a very challenging track. So I was really happy with my performance in qualifying, and even more with the race, especially race one. Because I was fourth, I remember there was a long safety car in the beginning of the race. And I remember I was so focused on keeping my tire temperature, you know, in the right spot. So I was doing a lot of waving, a lot of braking and acceleration. And by the time the race restarted, I knew that I could pull out a move on the outside on turn two. So, because I had the confidence, basically. And I did it. So I was a bit lucky because the guy ahead of me, which was Tobias Dauenhauer at the time, left me, let's say, a highway, because he, let's say, went a bit to cover on the inside, so I could brake very late, getting the space on the car on the inside, which was the 22 of Justin Kunz. And then in the end, finalized the overtake before turn three. So yeah, I was really happy about that move. And then in the end, I got overtook by a friend of mine, Garisto. So he took the podium. In the end, I came home fourth. But yeah, we did a couple of times fourth overall, learned a lot of new tracks. Racing in Zolder, for example, is crazy. You're doing, I don't know, 230. And the wall is literally, you can touch it from the car. So if you think about from the outside, you don't like to live very much to do this job. But it's just an addiction, of course. And then in Rijeka, which is, again, a mental track because you're going very fast. We did fourth again in race one. And even though I came home 11th in race two, I think I had one of the best battles I've ever had with Francesco Garisto. For two, three laps, we were side by side. through basically the entire circuit of Rijeka. And yeah, in the end, I came home 11th, which wasn't ideal, but still, you know, sometimes even when you don't do the result, you do a great race, especially compared to the car that you have and, you know, the top teams. Because, of course, in every championship, there are the guys that have more experience, that knows some tricks for the setup. So, yeah, also that race was something that I learned and was good. So, basically, before entering the last race of the season, I was fourth in the championship, fourth overall, because I was very consistent throughout the year and I was still in contention for the overall victory. But then, yeah, last weekend, double points, a bit of pressure, I have to say, because at the time then I was aiming for the big one, not just for the rookie. And we had massive bad luck, but bad luck in racing situations. So after a safety car, for example, in race one, I got a bit pushed wide on the gravel. It was a very late safety car, so, you know, the pack is everyone is there, and if you go out, you lose basically a lot of position. And then the next day, so on Sunday, I was comfortably behind the guy I was fighting with for the rookie. And then just at some point, I downshift to first, I upshift to second after the Sorate in Vallelunga. I saw the gear lever in my hands. And that was the entire season basically passed through my mind. And then we managed to finish the race because I came into the pits. The guy lifted the car and put me in third gear. And then I was able to finish the laps remaining and eventually got the points that I needed for the rookie. But to give you an idea, I went into the weekend with like 45 points of advantage and I won by 3 or 4 points. So... yeah, it was tough to swallow the situation itself, because at the time I didn't even know how many points I did. I knew the final result on the back podium when they announced, the NASCAR announced the second guy, and it wasn't me. So I figured I won it. So yeah, massive relief. You work hard the entire year and even more, and to get that achievement in the end, it's something I'm definitely proud of.
And then in 2022, do you want to walk through the season? Obviously it was filled with a few issues, and then obviously a big crash at Valonia. Walk me through how that kind of season started and what were the main issues you were suffering with?
Well, we had a lot of engines problems. And basically, yeah, the car was never able to race. Simple as that. I mean, when I started Valencia after skipping the qualifying, because we had, I don't know, some engine problems, and then you see the back of the grid just pulling away. I mean, what else can you do? A lot of brakes problems as well. Yeah, I didn't do qualifying, actually. I remember now, because the front caliper gave up at some point. So yeah, very tough. It was very tough, especially because it was the first race. You came with a lot of expectations, especially after the year before, and to realize that we as a team were in such a position, I wasn't really expecting it, for sure. But yeah, you try to, you know, keep pushing, of course. The season is long. You never know what's going to happen. Then we had a bit of a coming back in Brands Hatch with 7th in race 1 and 8th in race 2 after starting P14. So it wasn't so bad. And then, yeah, in Vallelunga, actually, it's a shame because we were really fast. You know, I felt great with the car. I had the possibility of sharing the car with Vittorio Ghirelli, which is a very fast driver, very experienced driver. So he helped me with the setup. And yeah, in free practice too, if I remember correctly, we were like fifth, you know, with used tires, just behind the top guy, the top team guys. And they always put new tires for free practice too to simulate qualifying. So yeah, the pace was there, the speed also, but then in the end, on lap 8, I ended up into the wall. So yeah, it was a very awful feeling to see the wall coming towards you, and basically you couldn't do anything. Yeah, especially in a corner where if you have that sort of issues, it's guaranteed 100% that you're in the wall. So yeah, these are the issues that we faced. The guys in the team were great. I mean, I saw them really pushing hard, working the nights to try to fix the situation. But in the end, it just wasn't our year, my year, the guy's year. So yeah, that's racing.
And what corner was the incident at Vallelunga?
So I don't remember the number of the corner, but it was the semaforo. So it's the long right hairpin. Basically, yeah. There you arrive at the limiter of the third gear, which for us means 190 probably. And yeah, without any warnings from the laps before, from the brakes, you know, if something is wrong, you feel on the pedal maybe some vibrations or some different behavior from the pedal itself. So it was very consistent for the entire race. And I started the brake downshift. And then I remember as soon as I downshift, the pedal went completely down. So yeah, with some analysis afterwards, we understood that the front brake pump gave up. And so I was left just with the rear pump. And it's like having the handbrake suddenly suddenly pulled. So yeah, I ended up in the gravel, and the car basically didn't slow down in the gravel. So actually I jumped a bit, and then I tried to steer the car not to take the wall on frontal impact, which we know is the worst. So yeah, I tried to steer a bit the car, and then in the end I hit the wall on the side. The last data we have is 110, 120, if I remember correctly. So it was a big hit actually. And the only thing I forgot to do is to brace, so to leave the steering wheel. And yeah, by the time the wheels touched the wall, of course, the front right opens and just snapped me very fast. So actually, the nerves of my thumb, of my left thumb, ripped the bone. And that's why I needed surgery. And I was out for the rest of the season.
Yeah, it's a pretty monster crash. I remember, I think, Schumacher in the British Grand Prix, his crash was at, I think, 100 and he broke his leg. So yeah, 110. Yeah, pretty monster crash. And then let's go for this year. What championship are you racing in? Two or pro? And what are some goals that you have for this year?
So yeah, after a tough season, as I mentioned last year, I was a bit left down by sponsors. And so yeah, I'm trying to rebuild my own reputation and to have another chance. So throughout the winter, of course, and even before, I was already working on it. But as you know, it's really tough to is a tough journey to get back on your feet. So my goal for this year is to do one race. I would like to do the Vallelunga race for two reasons, basically. One, and the main one, is because I crashed there last year. So I want to also prove myself that it wasn't my fault and that I know how to race. And then second of all, of course, is to stay within the business, to have teams, sponsors that can notice you if you do a good performance. It's like, hey, I'm still here. It's just that I had a bad luck last year, but I'm still here. So yeah, I'm working on doing one race. Hopefully it will be Vallelunga. Otherwise, if I cannot find the right package, maybe it will be a little bit later. But definitely the goal is to do one race this year.
And I think now would be a good time to kind of look at what the future holds for you. So what are kind of some goals, and what are some things that you've kind of set in stone as to what you're going to be doing in the future?
Well, who knows? I mean, definitely I'm pushing, I'm working to really become a professional racing driver. So make it a full-time job. I know it's a very tough journey. You have to perform at your highest level. And even if you do, there's the chance that you're not able to get what I want. I'm aware of that. But if you don't put, you know, the bar on a high level, you will not live in my own view. And then I guess I will just take step by step. So the first thing is to come back to do one full season. I would like to be in the Euro NASCAR because I love the cars, I love the atmosphere, I love the racing. So I would really like to come back in the championship. And because I still feel that I have some unfinished business. So, and then the next step, I guess, is to maybe go to GT cars. So maybe GT4, eventually GT3 at some point. But yeah, that this is, let's say, from a wide point of view, my path that I'm designing for myself.
Yeah, sounds good. So, I mean, you've answered all my questions brilliantly. If you've got any questions for me, please don't be afraid.
Yeah, I ask you, how are you preparing for the season? Are you exciting? Are you excited for the beginning of the season?
Yeah, it's exciting. I mean, it's been a long time waiting. But yeah, flying out tomorrow to Valencia. I mean, I've done a bit of testing in the cars, so I feel ready. I think I can put up a pretty good challenge for, I think, even the overall championship this year. It just takes a bit of work, but obviously that's what you need to do to be able to win.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, well, I'm sure you will enjoy it 100%. Just remember also, I know you're from Australia, so it's quite a journey also for you. So remember to always enjoy it and to realize how far you've gone. And yeah, that helps you to motivate yourself also throughout the year, because, you know, racing, tough times are always behind the corner. But always remember how far you've gone and what you are aiming for. So, yeah, best of luck really for the season. I will watch it from home, but yeah, best of luck, and of course enjoy it.
Yeah, it's gonna be a great year, and yeah, hopefully we see you on the grid very soon. Well, thank you for coming on the podcast. You answered all the questions brilliantly. Thank you for agreeing to it and being such a great guest.
Thank you, Max. Thanks for having me. It was really a pleasure to meet you. And hopefully, yeah, we'll see each other on track.
Thank you for listening to Path to the Podium. I'm your host, Max Mason. Listen in next Monday for another dive into the motorsport industry and what it takes to get to the podium. Keep sending it.